Hey, quick bonus material here for you, as we were blessed to have Dennis Mitchell, the coach of Star Athletics, join us for our live, we did it live, podcast at the 2023 Prefontaine Classic that also served as the Diamond League Finals. Dennis joined us for a quick 20 minutes, but let me tell you, lots of value in this 20 minutes right here. We hope you will enjoy this bonus material.
All right, well, we might have another guest. I don't know. He's always on his phone, and so he's on his phone now. I don't even know if I need a microphone for our next guest.
No, I'm
going to
be the gallery. Yeah.
No heckling. So here at the 2023 Prefontaine Classic, the Diamond League Finals, there's a few athletes you might have heard of. Maybe Kenny Bedden. I never know how to pronounce his last name, but Bednarik.
Hey, I'm his coach, and I don't know how
Kenny
to
B.
Bednarik.
He should go by Kenny B.
Yeah, that's
Kenny
what I call him.
Yeah.
Kenny B.
Kenny B. Sha'Carri Richardson, a lot of other great athletes, and you got to come in a little bit here. It never happens without the coaches, and you know, here at the Gill Connections podcast, that's what we do. We are uplifting and honoring coaches from around the world, and I can't believe I haven't had you on the actual podcast, but I get you here live. Remember, it's live. Don't be on CNN tomorrow. Help me welcome the wise, the wonderful Mr. Dennis Mofo Mitchell.
What's going on, people? How you doing?
I don't think very many people know that I officially gave, you know, you're a man of many nicknames.
Yeah.
Some good, some other we won't say.
You take them all, man. Take them all.
But I remember, I don't know if you remember this, it was 15, 16 years ago when I first met you. It must have been at USATF convention.
We were going to lunch.
And you were complaining, and this is crazy, thinking about where you are and your group is today. You were having a hard time finding a place to train with your group.
Yep.
And you're like, man, Mike, I've got, you know, I go to this high school, and they're like, no, I go to this place. They said no, and I'm like, and, you know, in my head, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, who wouldn't want you and your group on their track? And I was like, hey, Dennis, you should just go up and tell them. Say, hey, man, do you know who I am? I'm Dennis Mofo Mitchell. And it has been Mofo since.
Yep, that's what it's been. And that's how our relationship started.
I love it, man. Well, thanks for joining us here on the live podcast for the Prefontaine Classic 2023. Beautiful Hayward Field. I love this place for several reasons with the equipment out there. But let's start with you, Dennis. I don't want to talk about your athletic career. You had an amazing athletic career, the Green Machine. Do you still have the audacity? Do you think you are still the number one third leg 4x1 runner ever for Team
USA? Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. Just checking. I'm just wondering.
That's one of the badges of honor that I carry.
I think when people put together all time 4x1s, I think most still pick you for that third leg. So, okay. That makes sense. I'm with it. I won't argue. I won't challenge you to race.
Yeah. Although there are some good guys out there,
correct.
But. You know, I think pound for pound, I was the best.
Yeah. So amazing athletic career. Gator alum all the way through. Love Mouse Holloway, Gill Podcast alum as well. What drew you into coaching? You're a talented guy. You're a smart guy. And you know, you know, I've had these talks.
Yeah.
This is not saying it in front of the camera. What drew you into coaching instead of a lot of other things that you could have done in private sector?
Well, for me, it was just a maturation process. You know, when I got on the tail end of my track and field career, and I was always a very personable person, you know, so I was always friendly with all the athletes that, you know, old and new. And the younger athletes started asking me a lot of questions, and they started asking to want to train with me at the end of my career. So the last four or five years of my career, I was actually training a bunch of athletes that were training with me.
Right.
So I was coaching them as they were training with me. So the day I decided that I was going to retire, the next day I went back to the track because I had athletes there that were looking for me to coach them.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of one of those things that just kind of happened. So, and I fell in love with it, and here I am today.
Some people run towards coaching. It sounds like coaching ran towards you.
It drew me in. It drew me in. I never thought one day that I was going to be, you know, a track and field coach, because in my family, you know, we're a family of teachers. You know, we have a history of everyone in our family goes into a school system, and my degree's in special education.
Right.
And, you know, that's where I figured I was going to go.
Yeah.
And just didn't happen that way. I used my ability to be an educator, you know, on the coaching side instead.
Now, I'm so thankful that you're a track coach. But when you talk about being a special education teacher, which, you know, teachers are a very special career path, a special ed teacher. Oh my gosh. Like, you are an automatic angel. You would have been an amazing teacher and special ed teacher.
Well, that's why I went into special ed, because in my when I was in college, I had an elective class to where I had to go into a special education mm-hmm. classroom and, you know, get some class hours. And the teacher there just saw that I was, you know, very good with the students. Yeah. And, you know, the students were attracted to me. They listened to me, which is a great thing as a teacher,
right?
Special education teacher. And she's the one that kind of, you know, pushed me into going towards special ed.
That's awesome.
Because she said that, you know, we have a need there and you have a special gift. And, you know, we need you.
That
and,
is a gift. Yeah.
That's the direction that I went.
I love that. Yep. So have you been, I actually don't know this. I think the answer is yes. Have you been an elite coach from the get-go, or did you coach high school or college at all?
I went straight into elite coaching.
So this is an extremely hard profession to be in.
Yes,
in any
is.
Level.
Yes, it is.
It's even harder on the elite side. At least when you're a college coach, you get to go recruit kids. Mm-hmm. So you should always have a crop of kids coming mm-hmm. in and things mm-hmm. like that. And you know, heck, sometimes kids just show up, so you get someone to coach. Mm-hmm. On the elite level side, you've got to go find someone to coach.
Yes,
you've got to go prove to that person that you're yes. the right yes. coach. How did you get into and you kind of, maybe that's where it started, was those guys that you were training with as you were also competing. Is that where it started, the genesis of the elite level side
well,
of it?
Well, for me, it really didn't start from the athletes. To me, it started with me.
Okay.
Because I looked at my situation and I said, okay, I've made this decision that I'm going to go into coaching. So I have some choices I have to make,
right?
You know, am I going to start at the high school level and work my way up?
Right.
Am I going to try to get, you know, an assistant coaching job at a college, or am I going to go where I'm the most challenged? And I decided that being an elite coach, going after Olympic medals and world mm-hmm. championship medals, was going to be the most challenging thing in coaching that I could possibly do. And I chose that direction. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it the hard way. And now understand, if I had to do it over again, I probably would have went a different direction because I didn't know the challenges that I was sure. going to face.
Yeah. Like finding the track.
Like finding the track and, right. and shoot, putting food on the table half the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very difficult journey to get where I am today. Am I glad I did it? Yes.
Yeah.
Would I have probably picked a different path? I probably would have, only because of the security that it would have given me and my family.
Right. Right.
You know, here I am today.
Yeah.
I guess I'm relatively successful at what I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy. My athletes are happy. And, you know, we're on our way.
What year would you call your first year of being a coach?
I mean, being successful at this
no,
level?
No, being a coach. Like, you put your stake out. I'm an elite level coach. Come to me. Trying to figure out how many years have you done this?
Oh, I mean, I retired in 2000
okay.
as an athlete, and I started coaching 2001.
Wow. So
if
20...
you want to take those few years before that where I was mentoring right. athletes,
yeah.
you know, so, it's a little bit longer than that.
But... So we'll say 20 plus years.
Yeah, 20 plus years.
What have you seen? The world's different in those 20 plus years, not only in regards to cell phones and social media mm-hmm. and things like that, but just in general, you have a facility to train at yeah. now fairly yeah. regularly, which is good. The athletes are different mm-hmm. for crying out. And what I mean by that, because I don't want to steal what you might say here, the athletes are different in the sense of like, oh my God, everybody's running mm-hmm. so stinking fast. Mm-hmm. What have you seen change in the 20 plus years on your level, on this elite level, trying to get people to the Olympic podium?
Well, in terms of the sport itself, you know, I've seen a big shift in trying to make track and field a mainstream sport. Mm. That's an administrative thing.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the athletes, I think that the athletes are becoming more aware of who they are, not only as people, but as athletes also.
Mm.
And I think that that's a good thing because, you know, when we ran, we were just a bunch of athletes trying to make a living and trying to survive in the sport.
Mm.
And these athletes these days are trying to be something bigger than that. And, you know, I commend them for that because, you know, to be able to step out of our comfort zone, which is, you know, this track and field
right.
thing, to be able to step out of that comfort zone and try to put themselves into a different light
right.
is something that I have to really commend yeah. them for because that's not easy.
And you know, coaching any level of high school or college, trying to get kids to the state meet and in college, trying to get kids to the national meet. It's extremely tough. You're dealing with this much allowance of error
mm-hmm.
on this level. I don't know if I can get my fingers close enough. Yeah. The difference between first and fourth, which is even third and fourth, getting on a podium and you're not,
mm-hmm.
it's a it's a blink of an eye. It's a snap of a finger. Yep. How are you working with them today to keep that focus, to keep even keep their spirits up when they do get fourth or they get third and they thought they were going to get first? How do you deal with that side of the coaching? So that's not the physical. There's no fly 30 that's going to help that. Right. How are you as like maybe counselor to the athletes?
Well, the thing that I do, and I'm not saying I'm the only person or only coach that does this, but I try to do a very good job very early on in the season in terms of setting the tone. And the tone that I try to set is that, guys, you know, from the neck down, you give me 100% of that responsibility. From the neck up, we're 50-50. And meaning that you have some ownership. To bring some ownership to the table.
Right.
In terms of developing what you have to accomplish in that 9 or 10 second or 19 second or 20 second period, 21 second period for the females. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to be able to start from day one, being able to get an understanding is that I live in a world of seconds. And you have to be able to process information.
Right.
You have to be able to be free in that 10 or 9 or whatever, you know, female or male that is competing. You have to be ready to perform at that time. So we set the tone very early in terms of developing the mental, emotional, and physical side of the athlete. That's why in my group, you know, we are a family. And in a family, you know, we train everything. Right. And I tell my athlete, you know, I'm probably going to be training some things that you've probably never been touched on before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you have problems mentally, we're going to work on that.
Right.
If you have problems emotionally, we're going to work on that. Physically, everybody comes to practice and everybody works hard.
Right.
You know, but those other tangibles that these athletes need to compete at this level, you know, I'm not afraid to go after those also. Yeah.
They say the easiest way to go from number one to 100 is to go pro in track and field. Have you seen, not naming names, of course, athletes that just the physicality is all there, the speed, the God-given talent, it's all there, the training's there, and just mentally they can't handle lining up against this person and this person and this person, and it just doesn't happen on this level?
Well, at this level, man, you know, you realize that there's only one person that wins a race, you know. So in our field, we see more of that than not, than the athletes that are the total package,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So as a coach, you know, you have to make a decision whether you're going to go down that road and help that athlete in those areas, or just let them kind of squirm, you know, through their career on their own.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things that I do pride myself on is being able to help my athletes in that area, getting them emotionally and mentally prepared to compete.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, when you step on the line, you know, there's 8 or 9 people there and you're one of them.
Right.
And physically, you have to respect the fact that each and every one of them physically earned the right to be there. So you have to figure out a way as an athlete, you have to figure out a way how to separate yourself in a whole nother area.
Right.
Because physically, you're all the same. Hmm. You all earn the right to be there.
That's a good point.
So where's the other two areas that you can be better than your competitors? That's your emotional and mental side.
Right.
So you have to be able to understand. You got to train that part of yourself, too.
How do you, as a former elite level, you've won the medals, you've set the records, and now you can't do that anymore, but you're trying to help other people do that. How do you handle your emotional side of, because you're taking these athletes to places you used to run. Like, you can literally go the track and like, oh yeah, I remember right there handing off the baton, or I remember right there is when I won and set my PR. How do you handle the emotional side of, I'm coach, so I can't get too high because I can't get you too high or too low, etc. How do you handle that coaching side for these?
Well,
these,
this is a question for you guys. I haven't figured that one out yet. You know, when I was running, you know, and I tell the story all the time because people ask this question all the time. You know, when I was running, you know, I enjoyed the pressured moments because I felt in control of those moments. I knew what I could do. I knew I could win a race. I had a lot of belief in myself. But as a coach, you have what's called a non-coachable moment. And that's the moment when you have prepared your athlete to do everything that they possibly can do when they get on that track. But there's a moment to where you check them in and they leave you. And that's where they have to 100% take care of their destiny on their own.
Right.
And that's the most nervous, most nerve-wracking point of my coaching, is that when I cannot say anything to them,
right?
I cannot whisper to them. I can't give them a hug. I can't do another stride, another start, right. And I'm about to pass out in the warm-up area.
Yeah.
So, you know, that non-coachable moment is the toughest thing I've had to deal with as a coach.
It's a lack of control. You've given up the control
That's
at that
it.
Point.
That's it.
Yeah. Is that it's one of your hardest? Is that one of your hardest aspects?
That's it. That is the hardest.
That is the hardest.
That is the hardest.
Yeah.
Everything else I'm a part of.
All right.
But that non-coachable moment, mm-mm.
All right, let's back up to your group. You've had amazing athletes come through. One of my dear friends, Justin Gatlin, was with you as mm-hmm. well and always spoke very highly of you. It's amazing. So I love what you do. How do you, you know, a high school coach has to...
Hold on one second.
Oh.
Hey, guys, let's go set those blocks. Go set the blocks. I'm coming.
It never stops.
Sorry, guys.
This is preparation.
We got to track me tomorrow.
To happen. That's right. High school coaches have to roam the hallways. Hey, you look like you could run track. Hey, you should run track and go to the football team. Like, hey, man, you had a great run. You should run track. College coaches are out there going to every high school meet. Hey, would you like to come to my school? They're always recruiting, right? How do you recruit? How do you get people to your team? Are you at the NCAA championships at the finish line? Like, hey, man, you just won. You should come with me.
No. Well, you know, in my field, it comes in a couple different ways. You know, you have you know, I'm a Nike coach. So Nike signs athletes and, you know, sometimes they assign them, you know, to the Nike coach if they don't or if their college coach doesn't want them anymore.
Right.
Or some college coaches will say, hey, look, I got an athlete that I need you to take from me.
Right.
You know, and, you know, will you take them on? And a small percentage of it is us recruiting.
Okay.
We All don't right. go to the NCAAs and start pulling athletes from the track.
Okay.
You know, for us, that's kind of, you know, disrespectful sure. to their coaching environment.
Right.
So, you know, our main thing is our calling card is, you know, our accomplishments, you know, our accolades. You know, if you're a winning coach, you know, athletes are going to want to come and be coached by you.
Right.
You know, I've had the fortunate ability to be able to win the world championships on the men's side in right. 100. And now I've had the opportunity to win it on the women's side.
Yeah.
So you get a couple phone calls.
Yeah.
You right. know what I mean? But your accomplishments at this level speak everything.
Right.
Speak volumes.
All right. Last couple topics, and I'll let you go because I know they got to get those blocks going.
See, I told you they're calling me. They're calling me.
All right. Well,
you got
two,
one more
I got two more questions. Two more questions.
Look, the athletes comes. Are pulling up. They're right. coming to get me.
I'm curious, specifically with Sha'Carri.
Yeah.
You know, you got an amazing talent there. Mm-hmm. And then congratulations, by mm-hmm. the way. You guys did a great job. I'm curious because is this her second or third year out of college?
No, this is her fourth year with
fourth year. Okay. So she would be because she left after her freshman year. So this would be like her first year out of college.
Normally,
if she had gone through yeah. college. Right. So what I'm trying to get at is you have obviously a special talent. God's given her a lot of ability, but her training age at this level, let's call it from Dennis Shaver to you. So 5 years. It's still really young. Mm-hmm. How do you handle this amazing talent that's still, I don't want to say she's still figuring things out. I saw a video of you guys doing the blocks the other day. She is still figuring things out. How do you shepherd that responsibility of such a young training age on a high-powered athlete?
Well, at any level in coaching, if you want to have your athlete be the best at what they do, there are several core principles that you have to have intact as a coach.
Let's spill it. Let's hear
and
it.
Those core principles is you have to be biomechanically sound. You have to have the strength to be able to be biomechanically sound. Mm. And you have to have the mental and emotional stability to be able to compete at this level. So those core principles are what I pull forward every single year, no matter what age the athlete is that
right.
I get them. So you have to bring those core principles to the forefront and keep them a part of your coaching at all time. Now, the thing that you have to do in terms of specializing with an athlete, you have to get that athlete into your program and you have to figure what those inconsistencies are.
Right.
And you have to attack them.
Right.
You know, but there's not a, you know, this athlete is so young that you don't want to do these things.
Right. Right.
You know, if an athlete wants to compete at this level, whether they're 19 or 29, you know, there's only one gold medal that's being given out,
right.
you know, so you have to be the best of what you do when it's time to do it, no yeah. matter what age you are.
Right.
So whatever the athlete's capability of learning is, you have to maximize that for them.
Got it. Well, you hold a special talent. You hold a lot of special talents down there. I know Sha'Carri gets a lot of the press, but with TT, Bednarik, amazing people, Brown, Kyrie, and some new ones coming in. You know, you really hold a lot of special things for Team USA. We won't be successful without your group and other groups, of course, but we just want to wish you the best of luck, man. They're in great hands. I know that for sure from personal experience. And thank you so much, man. I know they're yelling and chomping at the bit.
We got to go, man.
So thank you so much.
All right, man. Appreciate it, baby. Yeah,
we'll see you. See you, man.
The goals to appreciate the coach, the ones who point people most. Every season needs a voice of reason, speaking the growth. Gotta prep before you carry the load. It's coffee to the soul for those of us who stay on the go. Proper handoff to stay in the zone. What you packing for the road? There's more than one way to the goal. Take notes, that's paying your toll. It ain't practice if your purpose ain't clear. It can't happen until you listen with both ears. You can't mentor without a mentor's years of experience. You can reinvent those years. Every plan's got a standard to live up to. And the price sacrifice, can you give up you? It's a choice and a fight, not a win or lose. It's not a ploy, but advice so y'all can make more moves. It's not about how to, it's all about why. You don't know till you know who you are inside. 6 million ways to tie, choose none. So we all cross the finish line, the work ain't done. So we learn from the experts, we all gotta put in the legwork. Guild Athletics is a network, it's all about connections. Put together for the profession, so every track coach can be blessed.